Well, good morning, Victory. I'm so thrilled to be able to see so many kids and students represented up here on the stage today. And each week as the kids minister here, I have the privilege to serve alongside so many of you as game changers. And we get to see so many kids getting involved, more invested, and growing in their faith every single week. And the best of all, over in the kids area, we have the most fun. So if there are any kids in this room, do we have fun? Do we have fun? Yeah, you guys, if there's one thing you're good at, it's cheering really, really loud. So they have to shut the doors sometimes because we're so loud over there. Today's message is going to be a bit of a switch up from what you adults are used to, but over in the kids area, we know that the average attention span of a child is about 2 to 10 minutes. That's if we're lucky, you know? So I get to set up our message with some general biblical overview, and of course, it wouldn't be kids ministry without an object lesson. And then Zach, our student minister, and my husband will close us out later on in this service. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? There's power in simplicity, but we get a really tangible example of that in that video that we just showed, where kids described from their perspective what it means to follow him. And it can be tempting to overcomplicate what it means, but when it comes down to the basic truth of it all, I believe there's power in the simplicity of faith. One of my favorite things about kids that I've come to notice over the last year leading in the elementary environment is their absolute inability to acknowledge certain social norms. And I actually, I'm not dogging on kids for this. I love this. It has kept me humble. It has kept me on my toes. But a recent example would be the kids' worship room was really quiet. I was about to give my lesson. We just finished up our worship time. And I opened my mouth to start to speak. And I just, out of the corner of my eye, see a child, appear. It was, almost, cartoonish. Boop, there they were. And she asked me a multi-layered spiritual question with a silent room in the background of her, and she had complete anticipation that I was going to answer her right there in that moment. And obviously in that moment, I wasn't able to because I had to keep things going. But here's the thing. This child was not trying to be rude or disrespectful. Kids simply just want their questions answered, even though it threw me off a little bit. And while this may seem like a silly example, I was actually reminded of so many biblical examples of this happening to Jesus while he was leading his disciples and speaking to crowds. And people, adults, not children, were desiring Jesus so deeply that they went against social norms just to get him. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree. The woman deemed as unclean did whatever she could to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. By her faith, she was healed. There was a blind Bartimaeus from the Gospel of Mark, or the Gentile woman who sought Jesus' help for her demon-possessed daughter. These desperate people, they were real. They were real, and the one thing that they had in common was that they had faith. And this is a very known passage of Scripture, but I think that when we are asking how to follow Jesus, we need to be reminded of what Matthew 18, 1 through 5 says. It says, at the time that the disciples came to Jesus, they asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And kids, are you listening? Because this is about you. Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. I know this is not new content to most of you, but Jesus is very clear about this. Our faith must be simplistic and childlike. The enemy is not happy when we make progress in our faith like this. And I think if the enemy were to attack, it would be simply by distracting us. Maybe the biggest win for the enemy would be by distracting all of us from the necessity of faith in general, and to make us so distracted and comfortable that we become apathetic to what we're missing, to overwhelm us with these endless tasks and meaningless hustle. And some of the time, we actually create that for ourselves, and then we complain about it. We're all guilty of it. So my generation and younger, we're typically known for spending way too much time on social media, and I'll own that. I probably do that. Our generation likes to scroll reels, we like to share videos, and we communicate a lot differently. And I'm not really one to sit on social media for a long time unless it's on reels, because if you don't know what reels are, they're basically just reposted old TikTok videos, and I'm not cool enough to be on TikTok, so I spend my time on Instagram reels. But, I mean, I'm going somewhere with this, so hear me out. The other day, I was scrolling, and I mean, I've perfectly trained my algorithm to feed me this, like, perfect blend of meal prep tips, mom hacks, and then, you know, that deep spiritual ministry content, which is very important. But 90% of what I see on my Instagram are just these ridiculously dumb videos that Zach and I communicate by. Like, sometimes we'll go a whole day and we won't speak, but we'll have sent each other like 16 to 20 different reels. Like, that's literally how we communicate sometimes. Is anybody else like that? Just us? Okay, well, it makes us laugh. It keeps us lighthearted. Life's too hard. Loosen up. So I had been reading in Romans that day to prepare for this message, and I was swiping, and I paused on this simple video of a man saying, how can my entire life as a Jesus follower be focused on spending an eternity with God, with my Savior, and I can't even spend 10 minutes with him today? And that just hit me different, and I'm guilty of this. I flood my mind with these meaningless tasks, this overwhelm. I catch myself working in my own strength and not in God's. Life is full of distractions, and our kids and students have more distractions than they ever have. And adults, we know that this doesn't slow down. We're caught in this tension of loving Jesus and wanting to serve him, but carrying some really full loads of just general life priorities. To which I ask, was it supposed to be this way? What's ironic is that the enemy has been using distractions against God's people for all of time. Even just think about the first sin. The enemy said, hey, like Eve, you have this perfect life. God's provided you everything you could ever need. He's promised you like comfort and all of these things. But then the enemy somehow distracts this perfect life with an apple. And it seems almost ridiculous if you think about the like logistics of that. Like, can you imagine having the perfect, sinless, blameless life and being distracted by something like an apple? Like, that's just crazy, but it sounds familiar. So today we're going to recount the story of God's relationship with his people all throughout history. And we are in the book of Romans, where Paul summarizes what it means to have our lives fully built on Jesus. We're given these truths about who God is and about who we are, and then we're given a pathway on how we get close to God. But that requires parts of us that need to die to our old ways and to be pruned. And kids, if you don't know what pruning is, it's when you cut off a part of a bush or a branch and a new one so that new life can grow. So sometimes we have to get rid of the old so that the new can come in. We make room for the new. In chapter 11, Paul is describing God's mercy by reminding the Israelites of the mercy that they were given and the need for others to have that exact same mercy. And he blessed the nation of Israel with the truth so that they could be a blessing to those around them. And instead, they had this blessing, but instead they viewed this blessing as entitlement, and then they rebelled against God's ways time and time and time again. And Paul used this analogy of an olive tree and pruning to make his point. So Romans 8:1, this was read earlier, it says, therefore there is no, anyone? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, a very familiar verse that we all love. In our culture, we're really good at highlighting this verse because it sounds good, but what we're not good at is allowing that to fully change us from the inside out, to allow that to prune away the parts of us that really need to die so that we can truly and fully live in God. I'm going to have a couple helpers come up. You can start making your way to the stage, you two. And obviously, it's not going to be kids' ministry without an object lesson, but I cannot guarantee you that it's going to work because I've done this like 8 or 9 times now, and 2 of the times it failed. So that's kids' ministry, though. We're human. We work with it, but it's going to make sense in the end. So what are some priorities that we have in life? These are the things that we have to do. These are the non-negotiable things like work, school, eating, hygiene, homework, chores. And adults, it's the things like meal prep, mowing the lawn, paying the bills, shuttling the kids to and from practices. And I know I could go on and on and on. So I have some toothpicks here. I'm going to give you each a toothpick. And these toothpicks, hold it up nice and tall. These toothpicks, they represent all of life's tensions, struggles, and our distractions, our priorities. And then, you're going to have to be patient with me. Here is a balloon. Lungs. Okay. So this balloon represents our lives, maybe. Our lives, yeah, it does represent our lives. Life's a struggle sometimes. So that represents our state of mind and our foundation, so to speak. So, you know, it's like, it's intact, it's full, it's good, our foundation. So if we come at life with our own power, I'm going to have, who wants to pop the balloon? You do. You look like you want to pop a balloon. So if we come at life without coming at God first, this is what happens. Ready? That was, that actually really surprised me. That was an authentic reaction there. Okay. And now, let's see if this, we're going to see if it works. Okay. So this oil here, I mean, it's olive oil. And I just kind of was like, this will be good because we're talking about the olive tree. Olive oil. Okay. This oil represents things like all of the 100, like, million gajillion blessings and promises that God has poured on us. So these are things like, and I'm not going to do this because it's a mess, but like, imagine me pouring these over the balloon, okay, to create like a barrier. These are things like promises of salvation, forgiveness, guidance, provision, peace, strength, and comfort. And we just come at life a little bit differently. So here's the next balloon. I got oil on my hand. A little bit more. Not too much, because I'm scared. Okay. All right, so go ahead and give your toothpick a really good dip. So remember, these are God's blessings that he's already told us. He's already told us all that we need, and he's given us all that we need. Here, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to make sure you have lots of Jesus, lots of Jesus on your toothpick. Okay, we're fully submerged. We're fully immersed. Are we ready? Okay, here's life. Ready? Okay, poke it really nice and slow. Let's see. Did you see that? Okay. That literally, like, the oil creates this barrier and it keeps the balloon fully intact. So when we come at Jesus, when we come at life with the protection of Jesus, remembering who we are in Christ, remembering all the things that he's already spoken over our lives, well, it's kind of shrinking, but typically it's going to block the hole and this will stay completely intact. Thank you, girls. Can you guys give them a round of applause? Thanks for helping. Can you go sit down? I'm just going to drop that. Our foundation doesn't waver, and our health and our mind is still strong because of knowing what God said he would do. We have this confidence in Christ. And if we don't know who God is, how can we expect our lives to actually be changed? So, church, I wonder if the reason that we have such a hard time bridging that gap between our minds, or because our minds are so set on the concerns and the issues of this current day rather than what the Spirit actually desires from us. And I believe that God is always prodding us back to him. He's always pulling our hearts back to him. And his law is written on our hearts. So if you've ever feel like your life is out of control, kids, students, adults, if you've ever felt like your life is out of control, then I wonder if we've just forgotten this simple ancient truth to set our minds and our hearts on him. In the kids' areas, we focus a lot and we focus hard on the basic core truths of the Bible. And I think as we grow and as life throws us more curveballs and as we go through really hard things, we get distracted. And when we aren't grounded in our faith, the enemy is able to pull us off course pretty discreetly without us even noticing sometimes. Jesus explained this all along. In Matthew 16, 25, he says, "Those who try to find their life will lose it, and those who live their life for me will find it." We're promised a full and provided for life through Christ. So let me leave you thinking through these few questions. What is fighting for your mind today? Are we seeing these distractions as enemy warfare, or are we just justifying them as they're just part of life? The enemy wants nothing more than to captivate our minds with anything other than what God desires, even if that thing isn't even sinful in nature. So do we truly know God? Have we become numb or apathetic in the desire to know God? I'm convicted by this. Check out this powerful testimony video of one of our own Victory students whose life has radically been changed by the power of God.
My name's Lolly. I'm a senior in high school, and I've been coming to Victory since I was in kindergarten. I used to always want to come because I had a lot of friends here. Eventually, my parents ended up splitting up, and we kind of stopped coming as much. I used to tell my dad that I always wanted to come so he would make sure that I came, but eventually that even stopped, and it's around, like, middle school that I kind of just stopped coming. I didn't feel like it was needed anymore. And I ended up getting in with the wrong crowd. I was focused on other things. In the end of eighth grade, I ended up experimenting with different substances, and it became an addiction for multiple things, and just like completely getting in with the wrong crowd. I had totally wrong mindset, and all of my friends from church kind of like did not want to be around me because I wasn't like the type of person that they wanted to be around. I ended up self-harming, and I gained an eating disorder. Around junior year is when it got really, really bad. My parents were really concerned, and eventually I ended up getting sick. It got to the point where I had to use it every day to function before I even got to school, or else I was sick all day. I realized that it just kind of had to stop because it was getting to a point that it was just so bad. Eventually, I quit the day that I was like, this can't happen anymore. I ended up just throwing everything away. And I talked to my dad about it, and then we ended up praying about it, and we prayed like every night because it was really hard. It made me really sick, even though before I quit, I was already getting sick because I was addicted to it so badly. Around that time was student takeover last year, and they showed the everything video. I really related to it because it was all the things that I was struggling with. I was really into church, and then I did end up getting in with the wrong crowd, and then my mindset changed on everything. I ended up wanting to be a partier more than anything else. After watching it, I thought that it would help if I got more in with the church. And before that, I didn't really think I like fit in here because I wasn't perfect. And I didn't think that I deserved to like serve on the worship team and stuff. And seeing that, I realized that other people do go through it. After watching that video, I realized that some things in my life had to change. I ended up realizing that I couldn't even go to school because it reminded me so much of everything. Especially the high school that I went to, everybody was doing what I didn't want to do in the bathrooms. So I just kind of realized that I wasn't going to be able to do it next year if I was going to make sure that I stayed clean. So I ended up becoming homeschooled and doing my last senior year online. I missed out on so much stuff, but I realized that it was more important for me to not be around all of the things that high school had me around. After the year had begun, the high school gatherings were starting up again, and it was kind of hard because I didn't really think that people here were gonna like me because some of them knew what I was doing, and I didn't know if they were gonna judge me and think that I wasn't good enough, but that wasn't really how it turned out. I ended up making friends, and that really helped me because I wasn't able to be around my old friends. I kind of just had to be alone until I made better friends here. I ended up joining the worship team, and it really helped me. That's basically my only coping mechanism now because everything's gone. I haven't done anything since about a year ago. I really think that the, not really the like worship team, but like just worshiping has really helped me a lot go through everything that I had to go through. It made me realize that I am worth something and that my past doesn't define who I am. I'm so thankful for God for getting me out of the situation that I was in and for giving me the strength to get out of everything that I was doing. And I'm happy to be celebrating 1 year sober. If anyone is going through anything similar, I would really advise you to talk to someone here, because even if you think you're not worth it and you're not good enough, they're not gonna look at you like that.
My name is Tyler Jones, and I'm a junior at Franklin Community High School. So at a really young age, my parents always like brought me to church. I did the church thing. I didn't really understand it too much till I got older. We had a family friend really close to us pass away, and that kind of like shook me for a second. I didn't know what to do. And then I saw how his parents were reacting to the whole situation, and how they didn't like push away from God. They kind of pulled towards him. And that just helped me kind of get back on track, I guess, and keep expanding. And then a couple summers after that, I ended up going to Allendale with a couple of my friends. Never done anything like that before, no like overnights or anything. I was really nervous, and I ended up having one of the best weeks of my life. I went back the next year, and that was all I could go back. And now I'm a counselor there, and do CIY every year as a camper, and it's one of the greatest weeks of the summer. Always make that a week I can't miss. I think a lot of how you like carry yourself is like, it happens when you're young, and the things you've gone through and the things that like, you know, your experiences in life. And then my experiences are much different than a lot of my friends, but then you come to church and you find friends that are like, don't have the same experiences, but ones that are more similar, because they're, I don't know, they're just here, and you guys can help each other talk about it and learn and grow together. Church for me, I don't know, it's like a safe place. I feel more at home here. I really realized like what God was doing for me. I think it was going into seventh grade year at Camp Allendale, and ever since then, it's just been like evolving, getting greater and greater. I play tennis, I dive, and now baseball. So I'm pretty busy in sports all year round. You know, it's not great to miss church. You don't really want to miss it, but there's been a few times where I can't due to athletic events, but when I can be here, I am. Another thing helps me get here each week, the students that are here and the leaders that are here. I talk to them, I've grown up with them for years now, and just being able to see them and talk to them, just, it's kind of like a routine. So I am in high school, soon to be going on to college. And from what I've heard, college is where you like really expand and you really, you know, create you sort of in a way. And I realized I want to do that in like a Christian environment. So I'm looking at like more Christian colleges and things where I can really grow my faith and be the best me I can be.
What I love about the stories that we've been able to hear this morning is the realignment of priorities in such an applicable way, in a way that, you know, each and every one of us, no matter our age, we always wrestle with the same things, which is why, as Chelsea and I were preparing for this Sunday, kind of our topic changed this last week from what we were going to talk about to what we are talking about, because I feel like the simplest truths are the ones that are hardest to live out sometimes. And so I want to kind of briefly leave you with a couple verses here that hopefully as you go out today can encourage you and remind you why it is that we are here and why we worship, and that ultimately it's not our own power that transforms us or changes our lives. It's the work of God in us. I think we all would agree. But here we're going to find exactly how Paul breaks this down. Because see, through Romans 1 through 11, especially 9 through 11, he's been making the case about God's mercy. And in chapter 11, he uses this analogy of an olive tree to show that, you know, as time has gone on, God has never changed. His promises are still the same. And all throughout history, throughout the nation of Israel, when they sinned, when they rebelled, when they turned their back on him, he would prune off the parts of them that were no longer bearing fruit. And he would even graft in others from outside the nation of Israel to be a part of the kingdom, to be a part of his blessed people, to be a blessing to others. All throughout the Old Testament, God seems to make examples of the older brother, and he fights tradition and makes the younger brother the one that is the one that succeeds. All throughout history, you see God moving and making a way for anybody who wants to share the same faith as Abraham. And so Paul makes the case that, hey, the new Israel is all those who are of the faith of Abraham. And that was fulfilled through Jesus. And it's funny, you ever heard the term extend an olive branch, right? An offer of peace? Josh has spoken a great series on peace the last few weeks. If you haven't caught that, I would encourage you to go and catch up on it. And this builds directly off of that. This is something that was a common phrase even in Greco-Roman times, and so it makes sense that Paul is using it. But it also, we see the first signs of this in the book of Genesis in chapter 8 when Noah is waiting for the water to recede so they can start civilization over after the flood. And he sends out this dove, and when the dove finally returns, it returns with a freshly plucked olive leaf, almost like God extending the branch back to us to graft us back into his plan, to his story, should we choose to accept. And so Paul says, in view of this, in view of God's mercy, that each and every one of us get to benefit, no matter our background, no matter our past or our baggage, in view of his mercy, this is what he says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." See, our bodies are extensions of our hearts and our souls, and out of the overflow of our hearts is what will be demonstrated with our words and with our actions, and our bodies will follow. So maybe a good question is, does the way that I handle myself, my time, my finances, the way I entertain myself, my use of social media, all of those things, what I wear, how I present myself with my words and my actions, does that point people to Christ? Do all those things demonstrate who my heart belongs to? Now, let me ask you a different way, because all those things do demonstrate who your heart belongs to. So where do you stand? You know, he says, let's give our bodies wholly to him, our every fiber of our being to him because of his great mercy. Let our lives be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way that we worship him. We have lots of expressions of worship, but the way that we live our lives is the ultimate act of worship. This is truly the way that we worship him. And then comes a verse that if you grew up in church, this will sound very familiar to you. It's one I had to memorize in Sunday school growing up. It's one that no matter how many times I've heard this or read this verse, it still has just as much meaning for me today, because the truth of it has stayed the same, even if it looks differently. But he says in verse 2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I like the way the NLT words that makes what is kind of easy to miss in the NIV explicitly clear here. Because in the NIV, it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," which is passive. It's not us that does the transforming, it's him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The NLT explicitly says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And church, there's never been a more simple truth that is so difficult to live out. You know, most of us, when we get up here and preach, we're also preaching to ourselves. And I was just reminded as we were preparing for this week that this is so true. No matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what you're dealing with, the temptation is going to be self-absorption. That we are going to focus on all of our own issues to the neglect of somebody else. And if I think that I could pivot this or point out exactly where it is that this happens in our hearts, I think it's in a simple, we like the hero's journey, right? Like any story, any movie, any TV show, any book that you read, it has the hero's journey more than likely. There's the hero who's under-equipped and who's a nobody, who becomes a somebody because he's faced with adversity and conflict and he has to overcome it in order to save everybody else. That's the hero's journey. It's how they blossom into the hero from not being a hero, right? And oftentimes in our hearts and our minds, when we look at our lives, when we look at our struggles and we're trying to overcome adversity, which we all do, we view ourselves, I think, as the hero in the story that is overcoming adversity. And well, there's a place where we need to work through our own stuff. We're not the ones that do the transforming. We're not the main character in our story. He is. I think if we keep that simple truth in focus, that will radically transform our approach. Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 is not just an appeal to stay away from peer pressure. It is so much deeper and so much more rich than that. Because as we partake in God's plan for our lives, you can't turn a parked car. You got to be moving it. And as we take part in God's plan in our lives, as we start to do the things that he's called us to, even if we don't know what that is, but we just start to obey, that fruit will start to show up in our lives. So is he the hero in our story? Or have we tried to put ourselves in that position? Because I think we'll always fall short. So what parts of your life need to be pruned away in order to make way for God to do his work in and through your life? That's my question for you this morning. We're going to wrap up here in a second. We got one more video to show you, and then we'll wrap up and get you guys out of here.